Welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stubborn, the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade, and I'm here with the pinnacle of political perfection, the superior, Super Bowl Kavi.
Yo, what up, everybody?
And I'm also here with the Daywalker, the Bloodsucker, the Vampire Killer, Brandon Orton.
Why do I always get the worst names?
A
That's worse. You think that's worse?
day sucker?
Bloodsucker,
You Daywalker.
said day sucker and blood walker Yo,
is what you said.
what's wrong with being a day sucker? Yo, don't kink shame. What's wrong with you?
I feel
I
like I
can't
just
shame.
named an episode Day Sucker and Blood Walker. That is fucking wild. I did say that too, didn't
How come Blade can come out in the sun? I know you Because
know.
he's a day walker. Because his mom gave birth to him as she was bitten by a vampire, which gave him like special abilities or some crap like that. So he's So
half
he
vampire.
wasn't bitten. Like he wasn't bitten. Like his backstory is pretty interesting. Like as far as like the vampire mythos goes, because like I think it's kind of unique in the fact that he was never bitten, or he wasn't like his dad wasn't a vampire or something like that. He was his mom, normal mom, normal dad. It was just that she was bitten as she was pregnant with him, or while she was giving birth, or something like that. Some craziness.
Once bitten and twice a day walker.
Nice. Sounds like a title to me.
Nah, I'm going with I'm something major is gonna have to happen for me to change it from Day Sucker and Blood Walker.
Day sucker.
Yo, it just
Oh man, that should have been something we added to the docket because they talked about X-Men and South by Southwest, like the relaunch.
late on me.
They had an X-Men panel. They
You got
said, yeah, I got it. It says the description of the X-Men panel happening in Southwest is as follows. Join Marvel Comics Editor-in-Chief C.B. Sabuski and VP Executive Editor Tom Brevoort to be the first to learn what's coming next for Marvel's X-Men comics this summer, when everything you know about mutant kind will change in X-Men from the ashes. And then, yeah, they're going to relaunch it at the Krakoa era ends. Let me see what they say came
when
from
you
the
do that,
X-Men.
I'm like I said, my biggest concern is, are they going to DC Comics us to give us like a re, because everything that seems to be happening while the X-Men are fighting like the fight against Orcus, Xavier, Rachel Gray, and Doug Ramsey are all like working to try to like go back in time and fix whatever they did to start Krakoa.
You said before that you thought they were going to act like it never existed.
That's what I'm talking about. That's
Oh,
it.
that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what it seems like they're doing now. Which I hope they don't do, because I like that this was something that happened. I really do feel like this is like action should have consequences, and this is one of them. It should remain exactly what it is, but you know.
Oh, no, never mind. The panel's not until later this week. They just announced what it's going to be about. So next time we have a show, we'll be able to talk about it.
I mean, if something major happens, we can do it like an emergency pod, but like, yo, this just happened.
But yeah, it's on March 14th, so that's
3 days from now.
Thursday.
Yeah, I could put this episode out on Wednesday. If something crazy happens, we can just record the next day or that day. See? But
Oh,
yeah.
sorry for jumping in. It just popped up in my notifications.
Oh no, I needed to know that. That's definitely something I needed to be aware of. So, like always, I'm gonna start. Well, not like always, with a new thing. It's gonna be a second week in a row. I have a quiz for y'all, and again, you guys can answer the same. It doesn't matter, but whoever wins this week gets to choose the gets the option of picking from one of the topics that I have in hand. So, the question this week: true or false? Like Harley Quinn, Okoye didn't make her first appearance in the comic books. It was in the Black Panther movie. Is that true or is that false?
That's false.
Mojave?
Have you on mute? Sorry. No, that's false.
Right, you're both right. Both of you guys get a point. Her first introduction was actually in Black Panther Volume 3, Number 1 in 1998. She did take some time off after that, but her first appearance was not in the Black Panther comic. That was easy enough, considering you guys got the Joker one wrong, the Riddler one wrong, which I'm very disappointed in, y'all.
Who gives a shit about the Riddler?
The Riddler is a G, dog. Talk about.
Whatever. Dude be leaving them question marks all over Gotham City.
Yeah, I was,
Like an asshole.
I don't know if it was a meme or if I was watching Honest Trailers, but somebody said that the one accurate thing about Suicide Squad is the Riddler would leave his dumbass riddles all over a city during an apocalypse.
Yeah, what an asshole.
Well, he would totally do that dumb shit too. We'd all be like, what the fuck, man? Like,
Why is this question mark? And then when you try to touch the question mark, like you blow up because you didn't answer some stupid riddle. Like, what's wrong with you?
I'm sorry, you weren't the person who's supposed to answer it, so die.
Yeah, mad people dying. Yo, the Riddler has probably the highest death toll of any Gotham villain, if you think about it. Because he just leaves random death traps all over the place. And I guarantee you, like 20 people see that thing before Bruce does.
Yo, I never thought about that, but I think you're
It's
right.
just crazy, bro. It's nuts.
Just just randomly, like people just walking by. One of my favorite things in Black Twitter, and I think we discussed this already, was what it would be like living in Gotham. And one of them was, imagine just waking up in the morning, you brew your coffee, you finish your coffee, you look at the bottom of the mug, and you see a green question mark.
It's done. Your life is over. You might as well just, call your loved ones.
Like, yeah, I had a.
Let them know you love them.
Yeah, that's all you can do with that. But it's funny you bring that up, Avi, and you didn't know this. Obviously, you didn't know this was coming because, like I said, every week we're gonna have a new stupid quiz and some fun with it. So the one I have now are for okay. First off, you guys want to start positive and negative.
Let's go negative.
So you bring up the Riddler, and it's also kind of funny because I have people on this list, the negative list of people you would not want to go on a first date with, and the Riddler is obviously on that list.
I don't know. He'd be funny.
He's not, I don't think he'd be funny. I feel like he'd spend the entire date criticizing everything.
He's a
Like, yeah,
jokester.
no.
I thought people like funny dates. At least I used to.
But he's not funny. He's
He's
a
not a. He's not really. Yeah, he's not really like. He's the type of dude that laughs at his own jokes.
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he gets. He's the only one that gets it.
And
And
then
then
when
he gets upset at you for not understanding it.
exactly. Like, oh, I guess my jokes are just too highbrow for you. Man.
And then he's gonna show up in a green suit with a bunch of question marks just all over it, like some 1990s infomercial dude. It's gonna be horrible.
Oh my God,
I
this is
hadn't considered that part at all, but you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
yo. I'm
Horrible.
gonna say this, and maybe this is a joke just for me, but Joe Budden is the Riddler of podcasting.
Why do you say that?
He's the only person who gets his jokes. Nobody else.
Hilarious. You're so
Nobody
much
else.
better than me. I can never bring myself to listen to a Joe Budden podcast.
All right,
You'll
so
try anything. I respect it
now there's
a
some
lot.
live.
Definitely not try anything.
Yeah, there's some things I won't try.
I think the Joe Budden podcast is genuinely like I don't watch it. Like I usually like if old man tells me something's interesting on the show, like the last time I watched it was like our Kanye West conversation. Old man told me they talked about it. But when I do watch it, or if I do get like clips and stuff like that, I think honestly, I think he found his niche, bro. Like
Yeah, sometimes it's great and
yeah.
sometimes it's awful.
And the thing about him too, like the difference between a Joe Budden and like a Joe Rogan is I think Joe Budden tries to make it as clear as possible that he really doesn't know what the hell he's talking about most of the time. Like if it's not about hip hop, he really does kind of like defer. Like he definitely has an opinion, but from what I've seen, he doesn't pretend to be an expert or and even that, like, and this might sound contradictory, he doesn't pretend to be non-biased. Like he definitely has his biases, right? He definitely has his view of the world, and he makes that clear that this I don't know, go ahead. What was that?
He is a walking contradiction, and then won't admit that he's a walking contradiction.
Yeah, for sure.
But then he won't. Then he'll be like,
I've seen him admit it. Like he wouldn't admit it himself, but he definitely like his co-host, the people that he picks to be his co-host are definitely people that I feel like have no problem telling him he's full of shit.
yeah, I agree with that. I would agree with that. So first on this list, well, excuse me, second on this list is somebody I know Javi will agree with, Professor Xavier.
Yes.
That would be the worst. By the end of the date, you've already become like his private assassin and don't know about it. What do you think about that Professor X date, Brandon?
I went no parts of it. Oh, I mean, the good thing about Professor is about Xavier is that he most of the time he don't be reading your mind without your permission.
He says that. Do you believe him?
So we lost some audio, but we're back. So we were talking about the worst dates, combo cards with the worst dates, and I said Charles Xavier, and this is where I lost them. So guys, we all agree that Charles Xavier would be like the worst date ever. He would essentially be like,
damn it, Wade,
of like dates.
Well, he claims he doesn't read people's minds without their permission.
Yeah, Javi, am I gonna have to edit that?
I'm inclined to believe Xavier because he often gets fooled. If someone was reading your mind without your permission, he would get fooled a lot less.
Nah, I think that's it. I think it's BS that he does it. I think it's kind of like, oh no, you tricked me.
Yeah, he does it. He does it without he doesn't do it without your permission until he does it without your permission. And I know that doesn't make sense the way I said it, but if you read enough X-Men comics and realize the history of like the toxic history of like say Xavier and Wolverine, right? Like there's a number of moments in his past that he did what he claims he had to do by manipulating people with his powers. And when I say manipulating people, I mean turning people into like human weapons, right? Like not just you know what I mean? So I wouldn't even call him the Bill Cosby of dates, right? Like he'd be like, you know, he'll turn your kids into child soldiers, right? Without you knowing, right? Like he'll do some craziness because it's for the betterment of his agenda to bring peace to mutant kind or something like betterment. That. Like, nah, whatever it is. But he does dumb things, bro. Magneto said it clearly, like recently, like right before he died, on Arako, he told Storm specifically, "Yo, watch like watch Xavier, and not like watch him like he's an evil person. It was like, yo, that's my boy, and he's gonna do some dumb shit that he's gonna regret, and it's gonna harm people. So, yo, please keep an eye on him. You know what I mean? Like, he's not responsible enough to take care of himself, let alone take care of your brain while you guys are on a date. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I'm still never gonna forgive him what he did to Wolverine, man. That was fucked up. Wolverine spent like his adult life. Spent his time as an X-Man searching for the secrets to his life, and it was literally just erased by Xavier.
Yeah. Like, exactly. And every time Xavier like quote unquote lose control, like it's really just real, it really becomes himself. Like Onslaught, for instance, right? Onslaught, like, is the combination of Xavier and Magneto. And I guarantee you the most evil parts of Onslaught don't come from Magneto. They come from Xavier's suppressed assholeness.
Yeah, he's a jerk. Next on this list, I got Peter Parker.
Why? Because he's broke? He can't pay for dinner?
Yeah, what's up? He's gonna take you to Cheesecake Factory. Like, what are you? You a bougie? You a bougie chick? What's going on? What's going on?
I am not shaming Cheesecake Factory on any level, so we can get that out the way now. I'm not. No, there is no shame in Cheesecake Factory, but like he seems like he'd just be too neurotic, like to like actually like have fun. I think he'd be a great second or third date, but first, nah.
I mean, he did pull a supermodel.
I mean, well, if you want to be technical about it, he pulled a couple of supermodel. Yeah. Caliber young ladies,
but like I feel like Felicia Hardy, for example, she didn't meet him as Peter Parker, she met him as Spider-Man, so that's different. MJ, him and MJ were both in like high school, so that's also kind of different. But like adult Peter Parker,
that's fair. I feel like you're broke shaming him.
I'm not broke shaming him. I just feel like he'd be too like nervous to actually have like fun. Like, you know what I mean?
You got to go easy on him, yo. His dad was best friends with a woman whose mom died while studying spiders in Peru.
Can we make that a thing? Yo, can we have, all right, listeners, this is what we're going to do. For the rest of the year, we are going to have one Madam Web joke.
They made one of the Oscars.
Yo, I loved it. Number three, Loki.
Nah, hell nah. Loki would be a fun date, bro.
Loki would be a fun
Which
date.
Loki? MCU Loki or comic book Loki?
Oh, comic book Loki. Comic book Loki would be fun as hell on a date, but I swear to you, you know he's sticking you with the check.
No, he would.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
Wouldn't go on a date with comic book Loki. He would fuck with you too much.
Nah, but this recent comic book Loki, like the recent Loki, like this current
he's still
Loki.
Doing it. Oh, he
no,
would,
but
not he. They would. Loki is non-binary now. They would still do that.
Yeah, but then he would tell you a story that would come to life. Like, I'm really enjoying this Immortal Thor run right now with like Loki. Just
let me tell you, if I'm going on a date with Loki, there's only one coming I'm thinking about. Sorry. I apologize. My bad. That's on me.
Oh man, remember, if your list has more than five dudes, you might be bi.
Well, it's funny you say that.
Well, no, this is the list he wouldn't go on a date on. So technically he's in the clear.
He knows what I'm talking about.
We haven't gotten to the list of, we haven't gotten to the list of people I would, so I would hold on.
Old man knows exactly what I'm talking about. And he knows I don't say that with a homophobic bone in my body, bro.
You know me. I don't kink shame. If you're attractive, you're attractive. If you're not, you're not. But I am only sexually attracted to women. So that's just my thing. Next on our list is Cyclops.
I mean, it depends what you're into. He's hot. I've never seen him depicted as not hot.
But he's also, you know what it is?
He's a square?
Not even a square. I feel like, you remember that old 90s song? He may be with you, but he's thinking about me. Like, you'd be with Cyclops and he's too busy thinking about Jean or Emma or both of them.
Or Madeline.
So I got messed up. Who are we talking about? Cyclops?
Yeah. I've also found some.
You're going to leave Scott alone, okay?
Yo, Cyclops cannot keep his eye on one woman. There was an issue I saw. I was looking up because someone, a while ago, I read something that him and Psylocke had a thing. So I was looking it up. And apparently, like, while he's right next to Jean, his telepathic wife, he's like stuttering as Psylocke gets out the fucking shower. I'm like, dog, turn away. Just don't
have
look.
Have you seen Psylocke?
Dude, look away.
This is why you don't marry a psychic. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you're going to leave your archaic idea of humanity's monogamy alone, okay? The inhabitants of Krakoa mutants have left that idea alone.
You talking to the guy where me and you were discussing about how happy we were that Jean, Logan, and Cyclops are finally in the throuple.
Exactly. And then I guarantee Cyclops was definitely messing with a couple of people at the same time.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And someone
those summer boys are.
Yo, hot boy summers.
Yo, fat. Oh, yo. yo. We need the air horn drop for that one, bro. Hot boy summers, yes.
But yo, can I just tell you? That in every, like, I know people debated, like, oh, they were not. And I was like, yo, everybody who lived on that moon was related to Cyclops except for Wolverine.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It was a Summers compound.
For real. Call it?
That was dope. There was so much lovemaking going on that they needed a whole part of the moon. Like, that's crazy.
Yes.
If they get rid of Krakoa, bro,
I'm gonna be mad. They're going to, and I'm gonna be mad. Maybe they won't. Maybe
I
they
feel
won't.
Like,
and this is just a this is a fake out. I hope they don't, man. Because
honestly,
as someone who's been a huge fan of the X-Men since they discovered comic books, this has been my absolute favorite moment of comic books.
100%. I have never been this into mutants, and you know this, old man. Like you. You were definitely the mutant guy in the group. But ever since Powers and House of X, like, it's been like universal amongst us, right? Like, and then you have moments like this, like this, how they're able to kind of play with society's norms, because mutants created their own society. And like, this goes beyond anything we got in Genosha. Like, yeah. I really hope, bro, just whatever.
Yeah, it's dopeness. Next on the list, probably be shocked by this, but I'm going Wolverine.
Really?
Yo, it has nothing. I want to go on a date with that dude. He's got a lot of trauma.
Yo, so thank you for bringing it up, because I didn't think about the trauma part, because I think it would be fun to actually have, because Logan, you know, he's, for all his like roughness, he's worldly, he's sophisticated. But my problem with Logan is, you're going to go on a date with him, and his saber-tooth going to come out of nowhere, and it'd be like randomly be like, happy birthday. And you end up getting killed.
Yeah, like you're part of a really barbaric saber-tooth art display.
Yeah, like, yeah, you don't end up getting dakened.
Yeah. Oh my god.
This should go without saying, but Joker.
Yeah, that'd be horrible.
One, I'm waiting for Brandon's response to this. Poison Ivy.
Depends. Which Poison Ivy?
We talking new Poison Ivy, anti-hero Poison Ivy.
No, she's not bad. Now.
So the only reason I went with her on this is because I'm just picturing myself ordering a steak, and her just like giving me like all these looks, and I'm like, yo, yeah. just let me eat. I'm like, I was gonna say let me eat my meat in peace, but
ayo, ayo. I think you guys should already know my feelings for comic book characters like Poison Ivy. They're definitely on my list of definitely dating. So.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm not gonna lie. I go vegan for Poison Ivy.
I don't know about all that.
Well, you're not gonna eat your veggies.
You tell me I can't go to Arby's.
Opposite. Poison Ivy don't need you to be vegan. You can eat all the meat you want. She don't give a fuck. She don't want you to eat vegetables.
I mean, I can't. Don't you need veggies to survive?
No, she'll be angry because like the meat industry is a.
Yeah.
Polluter, you know what I mean?
That's also true. Fair enough. So now we have the good list. People I would go on a date with. Comic characters that would be good on first dates. Number one, near and dear to me and Javi's heart, Emma Frost. Oh.
That's like number one. That's number one, two, and three for me.
Yeah. Emma's way too pretentious. That should be an awful date.
What sounds fun about
Emma Frost? Nothing sounds fun about Emma Frost.
Yo, she's sarcastic, like
she's smart.
Can, yeah,
like if she really likes you, she'll like buy you like an island or something.
She could be a sugar. Emma Frost seems like she's exactly the type of person you'd want to be a sugar mama.
Yeah, she seems like she's like when she no, it didn't even seem that way. It's been proven recently, right? Especially with her relationship with Tony. Like if she fucks with you, bro, like. She's gonna treat you right, bro. Like,
but even with Cyclops,
yeah.
I remember right when they went when they moved to California, one of the first nights they had, Emma was like wearing something like revealing or almost naked, and you couldn't see it. And Cyclops goes, how much did that cost you? And she goes, I don't shop in places that are so gauche to you to put price tags on things. And Scott goes, turn around. Yeah, there was definitely a comma. So I'm like, yo, what was she showing him?
Bro. She's bad, dog. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Emma Frost, that's a good pick.
Number two, I got Thor.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I just like anywhere in the nine realms.
He seems like a genuinely good dude.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely. Like, Thor's genuinely like a... Like, he seems like... I don't know. He's hubby material.
Yeah. Number three, I know we can all agree with this, Storm.
Yeah.
He seems a little pretentious too, to be honest with you.
Maybe, but I also feel like her first date, like once she actually realizes you're not a bad person, like she'll probably open up, you'll have these great conversations about stuff and like and not to turn a pun or turn a phrase because she controls weather, but like she seems like the type of woman like you'd have a great time just walking in the rain.
Yeah, and she clearly doesn't have any issues dating like regular people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we seen her most recently, I don't know if it was the last issue of.
It was the very last issue of. It was the first issue of Resurrection of Magneto, and it was one of the last. with X-Men Rare.
Yeah, she was chilling in Araco, right? She's in her bedroom. It's kind of messy. Like, it looks lived in, right? Like a normal person. And she's there chilling with her man, dog, that nobody knew about. Just some normal dude that she's in love with that, you know, she cares for. Like, that's dope.
Yeah. And I, oh, fuck, I lost my train of thought. And she, you know what's funny? It's like, if you look at Storm's, like, track record of people she's dated, like, there is no, like, there's no common denominator. Yeah. You know what I mean? She's dated an astronaut, the dude she's dating now, Logan, Black Panther, Cable, Forge, like, was she dating Nightcrawler? I know they've went on dates. I don't know if they dated.
She does what she wants, bro. Like, she has no, like, her character's always been something, like, I don't know, like, and I feel like she has, in my mind, her accent's always the accent from the animated series.
Oh, 100%.
And that could make anybody melt.
So I also wanted to say that she's probably the most accepting comic book character ever.
She's dope. And she's a goddess, like, literally.
Number four, none of y'all are going to agree with me, but I'm going to say Namor.
You have a type.
You sound like Maria. I feel like Namor is the type of dude who's like, he's too like proud to give you like a bad date because you don't want to hear anything. Like, he's like he doesn't want to hear anybody go, like, oh yeah, I went on a date with Namor and ugh.
Yeah, but if you accidentally disrespect him, like, you're dead.
Yeah.
Like, you use the wrong verb in a sentence, he'll drown you to death.
Yo, Namor on Twitter would be obnoxious.
Yo, he would definitely be a truther. He would definitely be on truth.com, bro.
I feel like if someone told him the word, like, I feel like if someone just said if he met a flat earther, I feel like he'd grab them and bring them into the ocean.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Next up, Adam Eve.
Invincible?
Yeah.
The animated series or the comic book?
Oh, comic book. I'm thinking comic book when I wrote this.
Only reason why it's funny because I would say for me it would be the animated series more than the comic. And it's not her fault. It's the way she was written. Like, when she goes away for a little bit early on in the series, she becomes like, she's almost like a white, like the white savior thing. Like, she goes to Africa to, like, you know what I mean? Like, that would annoy the hell out of me. Like, that's all she would probably talk about. She'd bring it up in every conversation, bro. Like, I don't care. Why didn't you go to Chicago? There was crime there that she could have solved.
You know, it's funny. And Adam Eve in the comic books would have absolutely go to Chicago.
Well, in the animated series, that's how they switched it.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, you're right.
In the animated series, they switched it. I think they did it specifically because the whole white savior thing is kind of nasty.
That comes back this week too, by the way.
Can't wait.
Yeah, 3 days. Next up we have yeah, I may have a type. Hercules.
You absolutely have a type.
I would say no, because I have Wilson Fisk on this list too. But we've already...
I mean, he's I don't know. He kind of fits into that mold a little bit.
Fits into that same mold.
He fits into that mold. I think old man likes to be spooned. He wants to be the little spoon.
Yes.
Oh, I get it, because you a big dude, bro.
Yo, let's not act like being a little spoon ain't fun sometimes.
When I'm sick, maybe.
Yeah, when it's cold out, you know, you feel a little...
If I don't feel well.
Yeah, you know, a little warmth.
Mm-mm. Spoon me while we watch Seinfeld. Tony Stark's on this list for the same reason as Emma Frost. But I also had an issue with that.
Yeah, but he's fun.
I feel like Tony
he's not
Stark
pretentious.
I feel like Tony Stark would spend a lot of time talking about himself, though.
He would, but it would be I think he would. He would, but he's one of the few people that, like, listening about him would probably be, like, very entertaining. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, based off all the stuff he did, like,
yeah. Like, you want to hear about that time I slapped the shit off the Mandarin and then went out and had sex with 8 Playboy Playmates?
Yes! Yo, tell me about the time when you went crazy and, like, almost killed the entire planet with a cell phone app. Like, tell me about that, bro.
Yo, talk about that time the Punisher knocked you out and then threw you in your jelly cabinet.
Tell me that time when you cloned, turned Thor into a robot and he came back and almost melted you because you're a little man compared to a god. Like, tell me about that.
Yo, tell me about that time Deadpool stole your armor, acted like you, and was drunk flying around with your armor.
Yo, tell me that time when you fought Stilt Man on a weird planet.
Yo, tell me about that time you gave the Crimson Dynamo a briefcase full of money in the woods to stage a fight.
Exactly, bro. Yo, I you listen to those stories all day, bro. Even the MCU Tony Stark. Tell me the time you was kidnapped in Afghanistan and when you came back home, the first thing you wanted was Burger King. Like, tell me about that shit.
All
Like,
right.
that's dope. Those are dope stories, bro.
What was going through your mind when you created Ultron? Next up, I got Catwoman.
Oh, for sure, 100%.
Yes.
100%.
Then we don't even need to get an explanation of that,
Nah,
right?
nah, nah. For me, it's the same. Like, again, it's Emma Frost, Storm, Catwoman, Selina Kyle, like that. Like, they're all like very the way that they've been written as female characters in a genre that's not hasn't always been the best with that, I think, speaks volumes.
100%.
Yeah.
Next up is I'm stealing one from Brandon, Nightwing.
Well, I mean, of course.
It would just be fun. It's just one of
He's
those
the
things where it's like,
best.
it's just like, oh, we're just gonna. It would be like the most normal date ever.
Who doesn't love Nightwing?
Jason Todd.
Who shouldn't be on this list at all?
Oh no, he's not on this list. No. Notice.
Let me tell you about the time that me and the Joker hung out.
You want to talk about trauma? You know it's sad when Wolverine's more stable than you are.
Oh, he's definitely like, yeah. And it's not his fault. It's really the fans' fault. Yeah. That's a story for another day.
He got beat to death with a crowbar. He got beat to death. He got beat nearly to death by a crowbar. Gets to the exit, and the fucking warehouse explodes. Like, and last on this list, She-Hulk.
But not last, like,
No.
okay, all right.
Shit, She-Hulk could probably be put to number one on this list if we being honest about it.
And now that you say that,
I mean,
based on her
comic
being on
book
this
She-Hulk
list,
is absolutely number one.
yeah, I think I want to be. I think Little Spoon doesn't sound too bad at
Yeah,
this
I was
point.
waiting for
Yeah,
one of y'all to say it. Y'all ain't gonna talk about Little Spoon now, though, right?
Little Spoon don't sound that bad.
Nah.
I'm almost 6'2". I think She-Hulk's only like 6 feet tall.
No, She-Hulk's like 6'6", because she towers over
Yeah,
Daredevil.
her and Thor are like the same height.
You know what's funny about She-Hulk is like she's got money, she's got style, but she's still like she'll still hit the dive bar. You know what I mean?
And she's a lawyer, bro. Like, we could talk like politics.
God,
Awesome.
that I'm just picturing like y'all closing a bar down, trying to like try to like fix like the laws of the world.
Be great. It'd be great. Yeah, she might be number one.
She's
Oh, is it that's ooh, that's hard.
She-Hulk might be number one on this list.
For me, I don't know, because it's Emma Frost.
Well, y'all know number one for me is Kate as Monet St. Croix. Like
Oh, 100%.
she's Monet St. Croix is Emma Frost, is brown Emma Frost.
Y'all got a thing for these pretentious women. I like fun women. Nothing about Monet's history is fun.
Listen.
Monet is like, I'm better than you. I look better than you. I'm the perfect specimen. Like, I'm the best. I'm rich. My daddy's rich. I'm better than you. That does
But
not sound
they
like a
don't
fun date at all.
but they don't act like that with people that they like.
I'm just waiting for anything that you said was wrong. Duh. Okay. Let's break this down. She's rich. Her daddy's rich. Her dad's a diplomat, so she was worldly before
Connected to Wakanda.
she was worldly before she became an X-Man. She has hit the genetic lottery with powers. No one has a power set as good as hers. Super strong
What
in
about
all.
this sounds like a fun person to hang out with, to go on a date with?
It's like dog, like just like, yo, just like a first date, yo, tell me about you. Talk to me. Let me tell me
oh,
about.
Yeah. So I go on a date with someone. Tell me about you. I'm the best. I'm the greatest thing you've ever seen. I'm the best looking person. I'm rich. My daddy's rich. I'm better than you. I got more money than you. What about that sounds like a good time?
Because Monet can articulate it perfectly, and I can just stare at her beauty the entire time. I'm laughing because I'm just picturing Monet like Dave Chappelle as Rick James on the baddest mother. I'm the baddest X-Men there is.
Like
No.
Rogue
Yeah, I
would
thought you
be
were
a
gonna say
much
Dave
better
Chappelle on
date.
the
Rogue would be a much better date than Monet.
What? Rogue would be fun. Rogue would absolutely be fun.
Rogue would be fun.
Oh my God, you know who else would be
You didn't
fun?
say top five people I would or would not want to fuck. You said go on a date.
Go on a date. That's all I'm talking about. Just going on. If oh,
Yes, you
next
said
week
go
I'll
on a
do.
date.
If y'all want to do, I'll do that
I
next week.
mean, I mean, I mean, anything. I mean, I don't know. I feel like one and the same to be honest with you. It's 2024, bro. What you doing? Would you save me yourself for?
Oh, you know what? Next week, you know what I'm doing next week? Top five best and worst Tinder dates.
Tinder. That's
I
a
know
better
nothing.
question.
I know nothing about that app at all. So that's just gonna be very interesting.
Apparently, Tinder is just it's like a dating app, but
I know
it's
what it is. I
specifically
just
for, but it's specifically for hookups. Specifically, so
okay.
like
So
hookups.
I'll think of okay.
It's more safe Craigslist.
It's like if I go on Match.com and I pick you, it's like, oh, I want to talk to you. I want to get to know you. If I go to Tinder and I pick you, I want to fuck. Like we're going out and we're gonna fuck.
But I know a lot of people that are in relationships, or not a lot. I wouldn't say a lot, but I know a few people that are in relationships now. They met on Tinder.
Well,
Yeah.
they could have fucked good and then was like, yeah, I like
But
each
that's what I'm
other.
saying for me. Like, I'm like, yo, you might as well get it started early, bro. Like, listen, I'll be waiting. Why don't you?
I'm gonna leave this next topic up to Javi because I would call him my resident anime guy. The death of Akira Toriyama. I just want to say this before Javi gets it started, that there are few people. It's there aren't a lot of people who can bridge a gap between everybody. Hood dudes to suburban white guys, people in the boondocks to the people in the country to the people in the like everywhere around the world. People love Dragon Ball Z. People, if you looked at it, you knew what it was. You knew the jokes, you knew the memes, you knew Goku, you knew Vegeta. Like, you know what I mean? And if you got real deep into it, you knew Piccolo was black. There are just certain things about that show that everybody knows about. If you ask anybody in this world to name something about Dragon Ball Z, they can name something about Dragon Ball Z, even if it's something as simple as Super Saiyan or naming just naming oh I know Goku or the Kamehameha and stuff like that. It's super fucking dope, and his passing really hit the world in a way that I didn't really think it would, but I'm glad that it did because he's one of the people there was no negativity that came out of it. So Javi, take the wheel.
Yeah, man. Akira Toriyama, he's a legend, bro. Like, he's probably one of the most influential manga slash anime creators of all time. He died at 68, and for most of his life, Dragon Ball, I think Dragon Ball started in 1983. So that's 40 years. Most of his life. This is a project that spanned most of his life, and he inspired not only did he inspire like the imagination of like young boys and girls all over the world, right? It sparked all types of mangas. I mean, he was the his character design alone. Like you can look in a genre, manga and anime, that's like super saturated with tons of different stories and characters, right? You can look at a Toriyama drawing and you know exactly where it came from and who did it. And it kind of speaks to like his inspirations, from Astro Boy to the 101 Dalmatians, which I think might surprise some people.
I didn't know that.
How, yeah, I mean, it would surprise a lot of people how influential Disney animation was to a lot of these artists. Because they would look at it, someone like Akira would look at that and see the quality see the time they took in the character animations and motions, and they would spend a lifetime mastering that. And that translates into the dynamic animation we see in anime and mangas. Like the way he can tell a story just through actions. Like Dragon Ball was famous for having fights that lasted episodes, man, even like half seasons, half a season of just one fight. And it was compelling. And I remember as a kid, I'm even like in seventh grade, he inspired me into art, right? Like we would collect these Dragon Ball cards.
Yeah.
And we try to draw those. I would say like even like he inspired a generation of kids to kind of explore the internet, like some of our earliest explorations of the internet that's, you know, not too explicit, was looking up Dragon Ball Z power levels, right? Like that was a thing.
Or
creating
even
the meme
like,
over 5,000, right? Like
what?
all
5,
that comes from
000?
Him, right?
Or even like one of the things that I love that I saw recently are a lot of comic book artists who have taken some iconic scenes or some lesser known Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball scenes and incorporated it into their work.
Yeah, for sure. Like it's everywhere. It's all over. Even we talk about Morbius, right? Like there's a scene in Morbius that seems that it was inspired by him as well. Like we call it the Bat Hadouken, but we can easily call it the Bat Kamehameha, right? Like which probably came before the Hadouken. And probably inspired it. You know, he's going to be a loss. And it sucks because like I say, Dragon Ball started in 1983, and we were getting new episodes.
86.
The manga.
Oh, the manga. Oh shit. Then they definitely inspired that fucking the Hadouken.
Yeah.
Like all of, like think about it. I'm not sorry to cut you off. My apologies. But just the amount of time we've seen that particular form when it comes to like a projectile in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it's you're right. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, like we were getting new episodes and movies and characters up to like this year. We're actually, there was a trailer that released not too long ago about a new Dragon Ball series. He walked away from Dragon Ball after Dragon Ball Z ended. He was loosely connected to Dragon Ball GT, which was a series that started like right after Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And then like it kind of it the story kind of left his ownership for a while, and I think it suffered. No better example of that than the Dragon Ball movie, which until Madam Web came out was probably the worst movie of all time. But the one good thing that happened from that is it inspired him to get back into Dragon Ball. And then we got Dragon Ball Battle of the Gods. We got Dragon Ball Super. We got
Which
a
was
whole.
The one where this was the dopest scene I've seen, like someone was throwing a fire, like he was charging up a Kamehameha and he was running, and it was, and she was like, "You can't block in the air." And he had was charging up the fireball, and he like slid on the fireball she was throwing and then shot it in her face. I was like, dog.
Yeah, like moments like that are crazy. Moments like that, like, and people don't understand, like, he animating, and he didn't animate that stuff himself, right? Like, especially later on, he was more involved in like script writing and like the basic premise of the stories. But you can tell the anime, you can tell when animators aren't really into what they're doing, right? It looks a little off, but the fact that most people working on Dragon Ball probably grew up watching Dragon Ball shows the love, and the fact that you have these sequences that stick out in your mind, even if you didn't really watch it, shows that the care that they put in this stuff. And it really started with him. Like, he's really going to be a loss, bro. Most influential anime artist, I think, of all time.
Yeah. You're not going to get any arguments from me.
Brandon. And manga. I apologize about that. I keep on saying, I'm using those interchangeably, but
you know what I'm trying to say. Brandon, you brought up a topic in the middle of this because I completely forgot, you know, to check out for news, but you brought up some X-Men stuff that I didn't know about. Talk to us.
Marvel is announcing a series, a short series, X-Men Heir to Apocalypse. The synopsis. Oh, shut up, Siri. The synopsis is, for centuries, Apocalypse tested the mutants of Earth to guarantee that only the strong would survive. Now, as he takes his throne on Arako, another must rise in his place and ensure the mutants of Earth do not grow weak in his absence. 12 mutants chosen from the X-Men's greatest heroes and villains will compete for the honor, but only one can become the heir of Apocalypse.
So
And so, oh, go ahead, old
about
man.
no, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Sorry.
The 12 mutants that are competing.
Oh, okay, we're going to same place. As you name the mutants, I want all of us to really kind of talk about, like, do we think they would make a good heir to Apocalypse? Actually, you know, better question. What do you guys think an heir to Apocalypse consists of?
I think it's the person who basically does what he does to keep pushing the mutants, keep trying to push the mutants to be the strongest, to be that, you know,
Yeah.
alpha mutant.
You're on mute.
Over the centuries, a lot of these characters, I mean, Genesis, Mr. Sinister, like, and so and others have been cultivated by Apocalypse, right? Like, he brought a lot of these characters up, or they've been influenced by him. There's like he's been around since ancient Egypt. So I think that there's plenty of mutants that we can call a quote unquote heir of Apocalypse, primarily due to his influence on them in their lives.
Yeah, Logan was a Logan has some influence. He was a horseman of Apocalypse.
Even the Hulk.
Yeah, that one shocked me. It shocked me only because the Hulk, like, even Xavier has issues even getting into the Hulk's mind. So the fact that Apocalypse could find a way to make it happen speaks volumes. And we saw what happened, what he's done with Age of Apocalypse. Like, just if it wasn't for Xavier, that's what the world would look like. So Brandon, as you go down the list, I'd like for us to kind of go yes or no on whether or not this person would be a good heir.
Okay, yeah. Armageddon Girl. First, it's being written by Steve Fox, who's writing Dead X-Men. And the artist is Neto Diaz, who did Daredevil, Black Armor. The first person on the list is Armageddon Girl, who I don't really know too much about.
I don't either. I'm confused by who that is
I
altogether.
never even heard of her, to be honest with you.
Number two is Cable.
Armageddon Girl is somebody who you may not have seen. So you've seen her before. She's a mutant with antlers. The thing with Armageddon Girl was her story didn't really pop up in the page of comic books. She was a Marvel Unlimited character who, yes.
Oh, okay. I skipped
Brandon,
those.
I skipped them, but I really need to read them because they're the first dozen that I read were amazing. I just fell off. I forget because I can't read X-Men because I can't read Marvel Unlimited on a desktop or a laptop. I kind of don't do it. But Armageddon Girl, reading this, Armageddon Girl is an amazing. Is a good pick only by name, but listening to the way y'all describe, it's a good pick for a couple of reasons, I think. One, the name alone, Armageddon, Apocalypse, it's they can kind of go hand in hand, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, obviously. And during the run that I saw, she was trying to build up other X-Men, other like young X-Men. So I think that's a sleeper pick. And since the X-Men kind of need new villains, I think that would be a good idea.
Number two is Cable.
I like it and don't like it all at once.
I mean, Cable's willing to do what is needed to be done. he will do whatever it takes. He's not someone that beats around the bush.
Yeah, and like you said, the most recent iteration of Apocalypse isn't someone who's trying to like kill all humans, right? I feel like his goal has become a lot more complex and a lot less evil. And I think that, you know, Cable wouldn't have any problem kind of like taking that mantle if he had to.
The next person is Cypher.
Cypher. Doug Ramsey?
Yes.
That's an interesting pick. I think because Doug Ramsey is all about education, and I could see him being a different kind of Apocalypse. Someone who wants to strong survive, but his whole idea is building people up. I kind of rock with that.
Emma Frost?
I don't like it at all.
Nah.
I don't like it at all.
No.
Exodus?
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
If we're talking about just if someone is going to carry the Apocalypse and Sabaner lineage, I don't think anybody would do it better than him.
And especially the way he looks at like mutantdom, almost like a religion, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. And I feel like he's someone who probably would have once upon a time praised Apocalypse if it wasn't for his love for Magneto
and hope, right?
Yeah. And honestly, like, he wants someone who like is a mutant god, and we're gonna talk about someone who's probably a mutant god. It's Apocalypse,
and that probably the only thing that would keep him from doing that is because I feel like he doesn't see himself as that mutant god. More like it's like,
I agree, but just thinking about how he's been recently with
true
X-Men and how he's starting to feel himself and understand that, like, he's gone from an acolyte to a prophet to now, I guess, ascending to like quote unquote godhood.
Godhood, yeah, you're right.
Forge is next. Forge.
Weird flex. I don't like it. However, I could honestly see Forge building something to put him in the process of becoming Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And with his indigenous roots, I could kind of see this kind of working for good or for evil. I kind of
and
like
weirdly, it. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, go ahead.
Say, weirdly, given like his origins as a leader of X Factor, I believe.
Yeah.
I still don't see him now as a good leader.
He's
like,
not.
I don't see him as a leader, right? Like, I don't see him as someone that can take that mantle. But like his old man say, like, I could see him as being like a very important part of whatever they end up doing.
And it would be nice to see him in a leading role where he's, let me rephrase that. I would like to see him in a Reed Richards kind of role.
Mm.
Oh yeah,
he's basically the mutant Reed Richards though at this
and
point.
It's funny because Forge actually flexed one time and was like, because Forge could be arrogant, but he was like, "I invent things that only people named Reed Richards can think of."
Yeah, facts. And facts.
Next is Gorgon.
If we're getting the Gorgon who was before he was resurrected and got all like mind weirdy. And like that one who hated Logan and just really wanted to like be dominant, then I love this. I absolutely love this.
Yeah, I can see that. He got the look.
Mm-hmm.
Mirage is next.
That's Sean McCoy, right? Or Sean Coy.
That's Danny Moonstar.
Oh, anything to make Danny more prominent as a mutant, I'm for. I didn't like it for a while. It wasn't until, what is their name? They wrote Static. Oh man. Avita Ayala. If we're getting, because I didn't like Danny Moonstar until Avita Ayala started writing them. And if we're getting a more upgraded character as we've been seeing, as her like just getting better and better, I love it. I absolutely love the idea.
Sinister.
Yeah, for sure. Oh. You don't think so?
Nah.
Too not, obvious. Not sassy Sinister.
Yeah. Nah,
I can't see Sassy Sinister taking Apocalypse's spot. But maybe he goes back after the Ashes or whatever, after Fall of X.
I like Sassy Sinister, though. I'm rereading Secret Wars, and his first interaction with the Braddocks, and it was like, slant. He's like, lies. Even if they're not, you can't prove it. I love that. We should get nothing but Sassy Sinister for the rest of our lives. And at some point, we have to do an episode where we cast him. Because Sassy is the best.
If you ask me, I don't know, 4 years ago, if Mr. Sinister would be one of my favorite, quote, like, mutant characters, I would be like, you're crazy. But that's one of the best gifts that we've gotten so far from this Krakoa timeline, and Sinister's been like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yo, and Hellions was that shit. Hellions was an amazing comic book. I don't know if it got canceled or if it just ended, because I feel like a lot of...
There was too many mutant books, bro. There was too many. They had to get rid of them, bro.
Yeah, there was a bunch of them that I loved. Like, X-Factor was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
X-Corp was good, but I'm not sure if my bias took place because everybody...
It was good. It was good. I don't have a bias for Madrix. It was good. Madrix,
Monet St. Croix. Our Angel. Angel was finally a good character.
Like, and it sucks because it did not let that story. Like, it would have been great. Like, we need. Imagine X Corp right now with the Orchid, with this Orcus plot with during Fall of X Men. Like, it would be crazy.
Yeah. Finding out what exactly is going. But I think it's probably us. Like, we want to know what's going on with their business. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What happened to their stock? What happened to their, like, all the stuff? How is Madrix and Layla dealing? Well, Layla already knows everything that's going on. But how are all these other characters? Like, you made me like Jason Wingard.
Yeah. Crazy.
What the hell, man? You know crazy. What I mean? Is that the last one? No, this morning, no, right?
Speaking of X Corp, Penis, Monet St. Croix.
Ooh.
That's on you, old man.
I think she might be the one. She might be the one to get it.
After that, Rictor.
No, fuck. Ooh.
You don't like Rictor?
No.
No, he's saying that he might be the one.
Oh.
Yeah, because they've had a connection since the beginning of Krakoa. I felt like they've been building towards something.
They have a really, it was almost like a romantic relationship, right? Am I tripping? Like, that's what it feels like.
I don't think it's romantic. I really do feel like it may seem like that, but for me, it looks like mentor and mentee.
Mm.
Like, Rictor really. Because Apocalypse understands his connection to Earth. So that's how I looked at it. Like, you know what I mean? I always thought that that was what it was. But I can understand your point, Javi, because Rictor took it hard when Apocalypse
left.
And he didn't say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And like, lastly is Wolverine, Laura Kinney.
No. Like, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
She has two little claws for that role, huh?
I just don't think her personality fits. It just seems kind of weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't see it either. To be honest with you, she wouldn't want to do it.
Brandon, you got to jump off a little bit.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
All right, cool. So, Javi,
yo.
While Brandon's gone, while he hops off for a little bit, I got a conversation. Have you read Thanos number 4 yet?
Yep.
But let's talk about it, man.
Bro.
Let me tell you.
It's happening. It's happening.
Yo, we have been talking about this since Thor number 1.
I know the audience can't see it, but this is my wallpaper for my iPad.
It's the picture. Explain to them what that is. No. You explain to them what that is.
So essentially, like, I don't know if it's been like over a year. At this point, I think.
I want to say 2001-ish.
Yeah.
Maybe 2002.
Don't remember.
You keep talking. I'll find
it. I don't remember. It might have been an Avengers series.
Nope. Thor by Gage.
It was Thor? Okay, so there was an issue. It was an issue where Thor had a vision of his death. And it was Thanos with Mjolnir that had the Infinity Stones embedded in it. He had a crazy black gauntlet with a black Infinity Gauntlet embedded in that.
Thor number six,
that's what it was.
2020, and it was
the crazy.
And it was the Black Winter.
That's crazy how long ago that was.
Right as he killed, only reason I remember it this vividly is because I just saw an article about it. Bamsmack Powell, Google Bamsmack Powell Mark, MARK. Mm-hmm. But he just killed Galactus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the Black Winter was like, we'll take him. Like, no, I'm killing Galactus. And the Black Winter was like, do you want to see how you'll die?
Mm-hmm.
And as Javi said, they showed him with Mjolnir with the Infinity Stones in it.
Thanos with Mjolnir.
Thank you.
And surrounded by Marvel zombies. And if the Marvel zombies, other than Weapons X, is that what that issue was called? Which is the first time I seen a Marvel zombie show up that wasn't like threatening the universe. But the Marvel zombies, whatever that virus is probably the most like dangerous thing in the universe. So he has an army of those guys. And we've just been waiting patiently for years. Like, when is this going to happen? And you kind of get little snippets of it growing, getting to this point. But, you know, we've had multiple events in the Marvel Comics universe that had nothing to do with it. But recently, the current Illuminati struck a deal with the concept of death, who wanted to experience what it was like to be a human. So she had them turn her into a human and put her in Fresno, California, which seemed random, but it made sense given that the person who inspired her to become human lived in Fresno. Thanos, who's constantly obsessed with death, found this out and went looking for her. Because he wanted to understand why she would do that, and he wanted to save her from this curse of humanity. So he ended up doing that. He fought the Illuminati, which consisted of Adam Brashear, the Blue Marvel,
your guy,
Doctor Strange, Iron Man, Emma Frost. Am I missing somebody? And Reed Richards.
And the Hulk eventually showed
up. Yep, the Hulk showed up. And
Thanos shit rocked.
Well, people don't realize, like, Thanos has been going through a lot recently. I mean, his power set. I mean, he went toe-to-toe with Odin's daddy. Right? Like,
yeah, like, people, like, that's the thing. People forget that, like,
yeah,
Thanos is older than Thor, right?
It's hard to tell now, given all the time travel shenanigans, but it's quite possible.
At the very least, they're like
around the same age, at least.
Thanos has been fighting since he was a baby. Thor was kind of coddled up until maybe like teenage years, where he started like rebelling.
Yeah, and Thanos can't die. He pissed off.
Like, death holds nothing in him.
Yeah, so he took. Yeah,
and that was one of the things I got to say. Like, Reed Richards specifically, like, when Reed is scared,
yeah,
that's a problem. And I love, yo, Thanos backhanding Reed is the funniest one ever. But yeah, go
ahead. Hulk has probably never been this powerful, other than like one-offs like World War Hulk and Devil Hulk. Like, he's never really been this powerful. And
I really want to see who would win the fight between Immortal Hulk and World War Hulk.
That'd be crazy. That'd be crazy.
World War Hulk is stronger, but Immortal Hulk, like Devil Hulk, he's craftier, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's so much smarter.
Well, they're both smart. World War Hulk is
smart and crafty are two different things. The Hulk had acid thrown at him once, and like after that, he's like, "All right, next time it happens, you're fucked."
Yep. Dude
ripped his face off and threw the acid that's on his skin at somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Ahead. Besides, like, again, so we really just want to explain how powerful this group going against Thanos was. And he, like, without breaking a sweat, he, found death and killed the body that she was in, which pissed death off. And then he ended up fighting death. Now, we're all going to be honest here, and there's no way that Thanos can beat death. But
and he didn't. Technically, he didn't. He even admitted, you bested me.
Yeah, but that fight was about to, like, destroy the whole planet. Because she wasn't taking him out with one hit. But what ended up happening is he tricked her and trapped her in a black gemstone, which is the same gemstone we saw in that gauntlet. Which, from the ending of Thanos, seems like we're starting on, we're literally starting on that path that we saw 3-4 years ago in Thor, which really does not speak well for the future of Marvel and the heroes. So,
and the last thing we see is Thanos will return in summer 2024.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. And so, like, what do you think? Like, what do you think? Oh, what do you think? Like, what's gonna happen, bro?
I'm just waiting on the eventual Marvel trailer for that, because, like, that series was in your the resident cosmic Marvel, actually resident cosmic Marvel fan. Like, I like the cosmic stuff, but you really like the cosmic stuff.
For honestly, sometimes it's the only stuff I read.
Like, for me, it peaked after Annihilation Wave.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I've never seen the depiction of war done the way they did that. Like,
it was so good. Yeah.
No, I like it was. It showed the heartache, the heartbreak, but also how, like, people find each other. Like, Nova and Gamora having sex essentially for, like, it seemed like, you know, the only closeness they could get. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that meant something to me. Or in, like, Star-Lord becoming, like, just not himself.
Yeah.
And even, like, everyone's like, that's not who you are. And he's just like, yo, this is who I am now. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, for me, and it was just, like, the idea of Annihilus was basically just, like, it was very American of him. it was very British of him to be like, I have the power, so I'm just going to take shit.
I mean, it is Annihilus, so.
Yeah, it's in the name.
Yeah, right.
So for me, it kind of peaked there, and so I don't really get as excited as you would, but you also have a different affinity for stuff like that, because, like, with all of, because you love science, so the idea of something cosmic and space, and it means something to you.
I think, like, for me, like, sometimes you reach a wall, right, with these characters when they're based, like, on Earth, because we inherently understand the limitations that come up being on a planet, right? Like, there's certain things, like, sometimes characters, you have to kind of write in, like, limits into a character so they don't, like, destroy the Earth. Like, Thor could literally kill anybody he wants, right? For the most part. Like, 99% of the characters in Marvel stand no chance against him. But we have to write in a limit, because if he would, quote-unquote, use his full power, he'll destroy, like, the solar system.
It's one of the reasons, like, that, why, right? It's one of the reasons why he doesn't use his... Why he stated, like, he doesn't use his full force on someone like a regular human. Like, he only uses it against, like, gods.
Yeah.
And even, you know, like, that's including the Hulk. So when people go, well, he beat the Hulk, I'm like, he's never really beaten the Hulk. The Hulk's never really beaten Thor.
Like, the closest we've gotten to, like, a real fight between Thor and the Hulk was
Banners of War.
The most recent, Banners of War. And if you see, like, that Stark had armor made from the body of a celestial. And he still almost died just being in the vicinity, right? Like, but that's why I like it, because you're able to, like, tell these wild and crazy stories, right? That's one part. You allow, like, some of your heavy hitter characters to really go in, and then you can also create villains that really challenge the characters, right? Like, villains that have the stakes, when the stakes are cosmic, right? Like, affect everybody from the mutants on Earth to, you know, the people on nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Thousands of light years away, like the Kree Empire or whatever.
Oh, speaking of nowhere, dog, Polaris, the Flex?
Oh, I was going to say Polaris needs to be on that list too of whatever. But anyways, like, that was crazy. Yo, she was like, you know who my daddy is, bro?
Like, Polaris literally took the planet, well, the celestial skull of nowhere, And this was in Fall of the House of X, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm gonna be, you know what's crazy? There's so many issues of involved with the Fall of X that I've read all of them, but I can't pinpoint certain moments as to like what book they're in. It's all one thing to me.
Yeah. So Polaris threw an audible. There was a specific plan going on. And at the end of one of the X-Men issues, she decides that she's going to go grab the Brood, who are being ran by Brew, who is a member of the X-Men. He's the only...
And that's Brood, B-R-O-O.
Yes,
thank versus you. Brood, B-R-O-O-D.
Thank you. And she was like, we need them. So she goes, calls an audible and gets them. But she also takes the Celestial Head from nowhere to fight Orcus, which is fine. It's metal. It's fine. It's, you know, she's the mistress of magnetism. She knows what she's doing. That's all fine and well. The reason this is a flex is because she did all this and still had time to make sure she got her coffee.
And she didn't just like throw nowhere into Orcus's base. She got nowhere to literally eat it.
Yeah, it was dope. Like, that's just what it is. So, pay attention.
But yeah.
So, everyone, pay attention to what's going on with Thanos. If you're a comic book fan and you see Thanos in something, read it.
Yeah. Because they've been building for such a long time. And when they do this, the last series event that I've seen with this much buildup was possibly War of the Realms. And for me, that was one of the greatest events that I remember reading in comic books.
I agree with you, especially considering like it spanned literally the 10 realms. Like,
yeah,
there was nobody was safe from that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually came from, and also one of my favorite phrases, excuse me, one of my favorite lines in comic books, is definitely my top three, was the angels telling Wakanda to surrender. And Okoye was like, we're Wakanda. We have no words for surrender, but we have 11 different words for fight.
Yo, crazy. Yo, crazy.
And I was just like, yo, if that's not a flex.
But that's the thing. I'm curious, just like before we exit the Thanos conversation, right? Like, and War of the Realms is us bringing that up is why I'm thinking about this. Like, there was so much that happened that connected to War of the Realms. Even it took multiple readings to kind of figure out like what was connected. And I'm thinking about what's going on with Fall of X, right? Like, Fall of X seems like an important story, right? Which it is, but there's a lot going on outside of the Fall of X. So you have Orcus, right? Clearly. But there's no way Orcus is going to be a threat to this coalition that the mutants have. Like, there's no way. Like, Orcus is done. Like, we say this every week. Orcus effed up, right? Like,
even their leader left.
Yeah, and it seems
when
like...
When Cyclops asked that question, Cyclops was like, so what do you do after you win? Yeah. And the Omega Sentinel said something, and Cyclops was like, I wasn't talking to you.
Yeah.
Well, they got to figure out how to take down...
Oh, I'm sorry. I got that wrong. He was talking to the woman, but the woman responded, but Cyclops was like, I'm not talking to you. He was talking to the Omega Sentinel, and the Omega Sentinel didn't even bother answering. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead, bro.
But it, okay.
They got to figure out how to take down Nimrod still.
Nimrod, and they also got to
figure out... the Avengers haven't even stepped into the... Yo, Nimrod's done for, bro. He's going to survive probably, but listen. Bro. Thor, have Thor handle him real quick.
I don't know, but here's the thing about that is, I think if and when Thor eventually goes after Nimrod, I think this is going to be one of those situations where wrestling is very much like comic books is very much like wrestling. Like, we know Thor should be able to just throw his hammer into like Nimrod and throw him into the sun. That should be the end of that conversation.
But doesn't Nimrod just reconstitute and then he has an immunity to whatever that was?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I think like magic or a god should be. I mean, I'm not saying that's gonna happen. I think, oh man, like what you're saying is probably the most That's the thing that makes the most sense, right?
It's got to be like a reality warper, right? Like you got to send them to a reality with no mutants or something like that.
But Nimrod isn't Nimrod or Orcus. They're not the big bads right now. Like the big bad has been slowly becoming, well, one Moira, right, and then outside of her, Dominion, right? Dominion is slowly becoming the main threat. And the reason why I say that is like, we also know Thanos is doing what he's doing right now. And there's no way Thanos is doing what he's doing right now without knowledge of what's going on with Dominion. So I'm just wondering if they're going to connect somehow, because we know Thanos, a big event involving Thanos is happening this summer. We're almost at the summer, right? Fall of X is still going. We don't know when that's going to really end. I'm wondering if there's going to be some overlap between, like, I feel like Orcus is kind of the misdirection, where the big bad is really going to be Dominion, who possibly is going to be overlapped by Thanos in some way.
And it's funny because I don't think Thanos is going to have anything to do with this, because we're not going to see Thanos until June the earliest.
Mm.
And the Fall of X is probably going to end around maybe July. I'm thinking Fall of X ends in like, what are we, in March now? Probably the end of April, maybe the beginning of June, because the X-Men stuff starts up in July. And I'm almost 100% sure they're not going to do a big overlap. Not overlap. They're not going to have an extended period of time where you're not going to get an X-book.
Especially
considering everything that's been going on. But, you know, who knows? I don't know.
What else we got on the agenda, old man?
What else we got?
I thought you had something about DC Black Label. Did you take that off the docket?
So, DC Comics is doing a Black Label comic book for Zatanna.
Yeah.
I have it right here, and it's from comicbook.com. Excuse my reading, because I have been drinking. Zatanna, the fan-favorite magical hero of DC Comics, is finally returning to print and will star in her own series. DC Comics announced today, revealing the Eisner Award winner writer, Mariko Tamaki, writer of Detective Comics, Harley Quinn, Breaking Glass, Crushing Lobo. Crushing Lobo was dope, by the way. And artist Javier Rodriguez, Batman the Brave and the Bold, The Dreaming, Waking Hours, Tales from the Titans, will revive Zatanna, set to be released to comic book shops and e-tailers Tuesday, June 25th. Zatanna's Bring Down the House will be Zatanna's first DC Comics Black Label series 17+. DC describes the book as follows. Zatanna Zatara is the greatest entertainer in the worst hotel, the casino off the Las Vegas Strip. The richer hotels would love to have her as a headline, but since a devastating instance of magic gone wrong changed the course of her childhood, Zatanna would much rather rock her trademark hat and fishnets as a slate off the hand stage act than bother with real magic. But Zatanna will have to take herself and her magical abilities seriously when an interdimensional vortex cracks open the very stage she performs on, releasing a terrifying demon bent on killing her. And if Zatanna hopes to escape with her life, she'll have to face an even more terrifying consequences of her past.
Yeah, this artwork is great. Like, this looks really good. This reminds me of kind of reminds me of the Adam Strange book in a way.
Oh, Strange Avengers.
Yeah.
I'm excited because Zatanna doesn't get enough shine. She's a very interesting character. She should have an ongoing, but she never has an ongoing. Mm. I'm a little upset that it's in Black Label because that means it's not in continuity, but that's fine. Tell your own story, buddy. I'm in.
Listen, some of the best DC stuff, at least from my perspective, is their Elseworld stuff. So I'm not mad about that. Those tend to be the only things I've been reading recently from DC. So this is definitely something that I'm probably gonna take a look at.
You get no arguments from me, Javi. One of the best Harley Quinn stories I read was actually a Black Label. It was called Harleen, and it was a revisioning of her origin story. Joker wasn't a creepy perv. He was more smoother and psychotic than he was manipulative. Harvey Dent was an asshole. It was dope. It was really good, and it was written by someone who actually, if I'm not mistaken, wrote a soap opera. So the way the story flowed made sense. And Harleen was just having these issues, and she didn't make it seem as if her story was that of someone who was pressured into it. It was someone who kind of like adapted to it. It's a really good story, and it was, there's a lot of patriarchy pressure. Like Harvey Dent tells her, because Harley Quinn's whole thing is she's trying to fix psychotics, and Harvey essentially tells her to stop. And because, you know, white guys. What else was the black? I think DC versus Vampires was Black Label, if I'm not mistaken. Three Jokers was Black Label, which was, Three Jokers was really good. But so yeah, I'm all into the Black Label. I wish there was more of these. I wish they had a Black Label. I don't know if would a Black Label universe work.
I mean, if you think about it, like, a lot of their animated stuff is technically, would probably, if they took some of their animated stuff and wrote a comic book of it, it would have to be Black Label, given the content.
Yeah.
So it will definitely work, because that's where they're going outside the comics. Like, DC does not get enough credit for what they've done as far as like elevating comic book animated series to something that's like primarily adults only, but still telling really good stories that appeals to people. So they're really good storytellers. Their movies don't. Another reason why I hate the DCEU so much.
But speaking of the DCU, we gotta give a shout out to James Gunn, especially because he essentially has basically said, hey, I'm gonna do whatever I want. So while Peacemaker was part of the DCEU, it's also part of the DCU too.
Yeah.
I love it. Basically, like,
because it's good. Like, keep all the good stuff, throw away all the trash.
Yep, but we're still getting
Well, he says season one is not part of his DCU.
Oh,
okay. He says season one is not part of his DCU, but season two will be.
That's fine. That's fine.
Speaking of Elseworlds, the Marvel Multiverse put out a comic book called Weapon X-Men. It's essentially a team of Wolverines. It's like, think of the Exiles, but instead of the Time Broker, it's a version of Jean Grey. And they're going after a multiversal onslaught.
That's interesting.
And it's a team of Wolverines. And so the Wolverines they picked were fucking hilarious. It's a Wolverine Earth 9997 and from Earth X. And if you guys don't know who Earth X Wolverine is, he's Wolverine who's given up on life and has a beer gut and has not fought in years. Zombie Wolverine, Old Man Logan, Jane Howlett, Wolverine, who was a woman, and Age of Apocalypse Wolverine is their leader.
I read that because what was a series that flowed into that? That was what flowed into that series?
That I don't know. If something came before that, I don't know. I know they did, so it kind of seemed like it was like an Age of Apocalypse thing, but
damn it.
But I'm a fan of the, Christos Gage, so I'm all for it.
The crazy part about it is that the last issue ended with them pretty much destroying a whole universe, and it was kind of like, oh, next.
Yeah, I was like, oh, so we're doing this. But I'm like, I kind of like it because this was the vibe that I got from the Exiles. It's like you didn't know what would happen.
Yeah, no, but I mean, the Marvel Zombies Logan involved, I'm reading the whole time, I'm like, yo, this guy's gonna bite somebody, and
he bit all the people
and it's gonna get bad, bro. Like, what are they doing?
Oh man, it was so, but it's great though. I love the balance of the team, because you got Jane Logan, who I'm loving, who's basically like, fuck the patriarchy. You got Weapon X, who's the Wolverine of the Age of Apocalypse, who's trying to redeem himself. Old Man Logan, who's Old Man Logan, who started popping his claws again, but then had to kill Jubilee, and is now like, I'm never popping my claws again. So that's kind of dope too. But according to what I looked up, it's the same Logan from the same old man Logan that we've seen before. So now I'm like, okay, so it's almost like, okay, so where's he at? And he's the same, like in the Chris, like Gage knew what he was doing. So when they were writing this Logan, he was very like, not really, he was not really short with his words, but very much like the father of like, all right, we're done. Like, let's just go. Fat Wolverine is just like,
listen, he's not fat, bro. He can't be fat. His healing factors.
Yo, that was one of my favorite moments of that. He was like, yo, this Wolverine was like, I can't be fat. My healing factor fixes it.
Brandon, are you reading it? Are you reading it?
No.
Weapon.
I think you'd like it, bro.
It's entertaining as hell.
Yeah.
And it was funny when he was like, old man Logan asked how come his healing factor didn't stop the zombie virus. And he was, old man Logan was like, sort of, our healing factor didn't stop the zombie virus. And he goes, there was nothing we could do about that. And then Earth X Logan was like, see, a healing factor can't fix everything.
It's not magic. No, another, like, I feel like the zombies definitely like the comedic relief like that. I like when Phoenix asks old man Logan, like, you know, you're the oldest one here. I respect, I depend on your analysis, essentially. What do you think about our team? And he was like,
you
know, one of the, and she was like, yes. All right, we're good.
Hey, yo, and old man Logan cutting a piece of his leg off to feed the zombie was, I was like, hilarious. That is absolutely something.
He's like, see, I knew you got me. I knew you understood me or something like that. It was hilarious. Man, to answer your question, I was just looking it up when you, I know it's going back a little bit, like the Black Label stuff would be good outside of comics. So technically the Sandman universe is part of DC Black Label. So they're technically doing that right now, and that includes Lucifer. So it's happened already. So just keep going.
So last, if you listen to the last episode, I told Brandon that he should check out 8 Billion Zombies. I got a text from him saying that he read the first 4 issues. Brandon, was I right?
Genies.
I'm sorry,
8 billion genies. This is excellent. I'm on issue 6. Well, I've done. I finished 5, so I'm about to start 6 now.
So was it everything that I said it was? I told people it would be.
No, I love this shit. It's so good. It really is like a look into humanity, because it's exactly what people would do. It's exactly what people would do. There'd be people who are insane and they do insane shit. There would be a ton of terrible people who do terrible shit. It'd be a bunch of greedy people who do greed shit. And when you combine all that shit, it basically means none of that shit matters. And so nothing, like, you wish for $1 billion. So what does it matter when it, what is currency in the world where everyone has a gift, has a wish? It's nothing.
And that was the part that really got me, because like, I really sat about what's the first thing I would do. And I thought about what I would do like immediately. But then I'm thinking, then as the series progresses, you're like, oh snap. While that was either selfish or selfless, depending on what you would have wished for, how does it really work in the grand scheme of things? Like, Brandon, have you found out who the bartender is yet?
Yes, that was the last thing I just saw.
Okay, so the first wish was the first wish was by a bartender who owned a bar and said, no wishes that happen outside of this bar can affect my bar.
It can affect anyone or anything inside this bar.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Brandon. And I loved it. And I was like, that's actually a really good wish. And right then I was like, oh, there's something up with him. That he made that wish. He made that wish way too quick. Way too quickly, excuse me. But reading all the stuff that goes on, and you see selfish people become selfless. And you see selfless people become selfish. And then you find out the mental state of a person who doesn't make a wish. It's like you said, Brandon, it's a really good look into humanity. And Charles Soule did a masterful job with this. And I'm actually happy that I read that it's becoming a TV show. I don't think it should go longer than a season, but
It's super dope.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. I'm not done yet, but it's excellent so far.
Oh yeah, well, I'm sure you'll be done by next week, but I think it would be kind of cool to talk about. I thought talk about that. Oh, the Avengers are joining the Fall of X. We talked about it briefly, but yo, you know it's bad when Carol's pissed off.
Bro, Orcus fucked up. Period. Like they're getting their asses handed to them right now with one Avenger.
Who's the one Avenger? Oh, Iron Man. Yeah.
And he's not even the most powerful one.
Well,
I mean, right
Captain
now with that
America.
armor, he's pretty close, but
Dude, he was crushing Sentinels with he was crushing two or three Sentinels with one arm.
yeah, that's why I'm like, that's why I'm thinking,
Yo,
yo, Orcus, yo.
that Mark 72 did not disappoint.
It's really good. And
Fuck the Avengers. They should have never let it got to this point. They knew that mutants weren't these fucking terrible, horrible people, and they let the whole world do that, learn, like, believe that shit.
Well, they wanted to fight. So apparently they wanted to do it, but Tony told the part of the plan that Tony had with the mutants was not to have the Avengers get involved yet. They've been wanting to fight.
Thor, I remember the first immortal Thor, he's been fighting back as much as he can within like the parameters. Because I guess some mutants were either I can't remember if they were praying to him or if he saw something, but Thor found out that some mutants were being like hassled and he went and beat the shit out of them. Like badly. Who else has got involved? I would be shocked if Hawkeye didn't get involved because Hawkeye's a man of the people, despite Hawkeye looks like somebody who'd vote for Trump, but we know he wouldn't. But we know he looks like someone who'd vote for Trump, but I kind of feel like he wouldn't vote for Trump, you know what I mean? You know he was probably involved shooting Orcus.
No, comic book Hawkeye would absolutely vote for Trump. Have
You
you
think
read
so?
any of those stories?
You think so? Nah, like he.
Hawkeye was fucked up.
Yo, the Matt was it Matt Fraction who wrote the Hawkeye story? He like legitimately just bought up a whole house and let people live for free.
He would have voted. Well, you know what? He would have voted for Trump in 2020. He
Absolutely.
wouldn't have voted for him the second time.
Absolutely.
Oh, you mean he would have voted for him in 2016, but not in 2020.
Yeah, 2000, sorry, 2000. He would have voted for him in 2016, but not in 2020.
And you know, can you picture like it's like Hawkeye, Captain America, it's Hawkeye, Steve Rogers, Sam Wilson, Luke Cage, and Jessica Jones all talking about voting for Hillary, or like, and then Hawkeye was like, "Oh, I voted for Trump." Can you picture the look all of them would have gave him?
Carol Danvers would have voted for Trump.
Carol Danvers in 2016 may have voted for Trump. 2020 Carol Danvers, absolutely not.
Who yo. Matter of fact, I don't know. I feel like the only one that wouldn't have voted for the only American
Only American.
Avenger that wouldn't have voted for Trump would be Tony Stark.
No, Captain America wouldn't.
And Captain America. Captain America would have seen like his he would have seen a lot of similarities between his rise and like the rise of fascism in Germany, so he wouldn't have done it.
You saying Wanda's not voting for Trump.
Tony Stark's a rich liberal.
Tony Stark's not voting for Trump. I
So
mean,
he's not voting for Trump.
Wanda's not voting for Trump.
I don't think Wanda's American.
Vision ain't
Yeah, she's
voting.
not.
Vision can't vote.
Wanda can't vote. I don't think Wanda's an
Vision's not a
American citizen.
person.
Can Sam, what is Will?
Sam Wilson is definite. Sam Wilson is gonna, once he retires from the Avengers, he will run as a Republican governor of like West Virginia or
Yo,
something, bro.
his
No,
yo.
he would not. Did you read Nick Spencer's Captain
I
America?
didn't. I didn't. It's
That
on my
dude would
list
not vote for Trump.
though. Yo, he's gonna have a
He's the one that figured out Steve was fucking a fascist.
Yo,
Oh yeah, he
can you
wouldn't. Yeah, he's
picture?
anti-fascist. He wouldn't done it. He would.
Can
He
y'all
he's.
picture Sam Wilson with a MAGA shirt on, make Captain America great again?
Yes, I can see that though.
Oh man! All right, Javi, what have you been reading? I know you've been on your manga kick. So what have you been reading?
I've actually been last. We talked about it, but Thanos this past Thanos series was really, really good. It was funny at times. Yeah. You got to see, anytime you get to see Blue Marvel, he flexed a little bit, right? And I think it's going to be a very important story moving forward, right? We're going to look back at this moment and be like, oh, that's when it happened.
Yeah.
So
I want to shout out to you because honestly, like we talked about it earlier, my appreciation for the cosmic stuff in comic books isn't nearly as vast and great as yours. So like a lot of times I'll kind of like, the cosmic stuff. But because you always amp up certain characters, and the same thing with Brandon. So you love Thanos. Like Thanos is one of your top five, right?
Mm-hmm. He might be top three villain for me of all time.
Knowing that you have the affinity that you do for, I picked it up.
Yeah.
And honestly, it became, I'm glad I picked up the comic book and it was better than I thought it was going to be.
I appreciate that.
I haven't read it yet, but I bought Dan Slott Silver Surfer. Did you read that?
Oh my God. Hell yeah, bro. Enjoy, dog.
I bought the omnibus. Is it good?
Oh yeah,
it's perfect.
Listen, I don't know of any bad Silver Surfer series. I can't think of a bad one. So enjoy.
Dan Slott's on the list of creators that I love. The Fantastic Four run they did. I think Dan Slott did Superior Spider-Man too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like I'm a fan of Dan Slott. If Dan Slott's putting something together, I'm all for it. His Spider-Boy comic book has been fun as hell. Superior Spider-Man has been good. The last issue was great. Superior Spider-Man has been good, but the last issue was great. And I know people don't like Dan Slott, but Dan Slott's that dude. He's written more She-Hulk comic books than anybody. So put some respect on his name. Dan Slott's that dude. Mm-hmm. And Brandon, I can't wait for you to report back on the Silver Surfer run. Speaking of which,
let's do a Silver Surfer episode one of these days.
After we finish the Grayson run and you're up next, you get to pick the comic book. Brandon, what are you reading?
8 Billion Genies is what I've been reading. I caught up on my X books.
Have you started the Deadpool omnibus yet?
No, because I was reading 8 Billion Genies. I need to read this.
Your screen's off, so I can't see what you're reading.
Yeah, you can't see. My camera's been acting fucking crazy. Look at this. It's on now and it don't work. But I need to read Void Rival 7.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I need to catch up too, bro. Damn, you're right.
Void Rivals was a really quick read, but it was a really good read. It was one of those, because they were on a hiatus, I feel like a month or two.
Yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't realize they had a new issue, bro.
Hey, Brandon, if I had known you hadn't read that, I'd have been like, hey, before you hop back on, read that really quick, because you could read that in about 2 minutes.
I need to read Void Rival 7, because that's my shit.
I'm going to say this probably once a month, but thank you for getting us into the Energon universe and promoting it. Because Void Rivals number one was dope as hell, which got me into Transformers, which got me into G.I. Joe, which got me into Cobra Commander. And Cobra Commander has been my shit. I didn't realize that Cobra Commander was a scientist. Like, I wasn't a big G.I. Joe person growing up, but Cobra Commander is a scientist, finding out exactly what happened to him to have him put the mask on, and just how dedicated he is to Cobra. It's super dope. And what they're doing with Duke, he's like Captain America without the powers. And I'm really fucking with this. Duke might be my favorite out of all of them, though.
I haven't read Duke.
Duke's really good. It's really, really good. Like, it's on a level of, you know what it is? It gives me Winter Soldier vibes. It gives me, and like, without the actual Winter Soldier, but like Steve Rogers being against the world. It's giving me that kind of vibes too. And like, I absolutely think that if you're a comic book fan, get into the Energon universe. And not even just like the stuff we're saying, find something you like. There's an issue with Transformers where Optimus Prime rips his arm off and beats a Decepticon to death with it.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Like, yo.
And then he gets Megatron's arm.
Yo. Oh, yo, and then Megatron showing up and Cobra Commander thinking he has like Megatron like sewed up and like Megatron's a bitch, and Megatron just kind of looks up and smiles. I'm like, ugh. Oh, and Free Comic Book Day, we get to see the war that where Megatron basically goes like ape shit and like basically destroys everybody.
Also, oh man, this is the biggest fucking omnibus I've ever seen. Look at this shit.
Jeez.
The only omnibus that may be bigger is probably Secret Wars. The
This Deadpool omnibus is huge.
huge.
By the way, that Silver Surfer omnibus on eBay was only $39.
That's not bad at all. So I'm gonna give you a. I'm gonna give you some stuff you should read, some stuff. Give you some stuff you should read and some sleepers. Sleepers, I'm absolutely gonna say check out Suicide Squad, Kill Arkham Asylum. It's all just fun. At one point, Deathstroke, somebody else, and Deadshot, who's black, we're trying to decide who gets to kill this guard. Deathstroke's like, he electrocuted me whenever, like, you know, just for shits and giggles. The other dude was like, he tortured me for this. And then Deadshot's like, he took my sandwich. It was Meatloaf Day. It's super fun. It's funny. I absolutely agree with it. I absolutely think people should read it. Another sleeper, and me and Hobby talked about this, Avengers Twilight. If you're not reading Avengers Twilight because it has a specific, because it's like an alternate reality, you're fucking up. Avengers.
I cannot wait for that next issue.
Yo, I'm not gonna say who popped up. We'll talk about it next week.
Jeez.
Like he popped up. It's been a wolf's age. I'm like, yo, they got a new Hawkeye.
They do. I got.
Yo, this Avengers
I
Twilight
don't.
series has
Let's
been
talk
insane.
about it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Ultimate X-Men, the first issue has been was super dope. I like that it actually has almost nothing to do with my mutinism so far. It's like more Japanese culture and like the things that people may or may not know. And at the end of the issue, they talk about there's a page specifically talking about all the Japanese cultural things that were mentioned in that. And if I'm not mistaken, the writer is Japanese as well. So I
Yes,
love,
it feels like a manga, a
yeah, it,
manga, I should say. I
yeah.
just ordered the physical copy. It's actually just got delivered in the mail. I just got an alert because I wanted to have that.
And when Brandon said that he couldn't find it anywhere, I was like, let me see why. I understand why. It's super great. And on the not sleepers thing, Captain America by J. Michael Straczynski has been perfect from issue one. They just finished issue number seven. Pick that shit up. It's fantastic. It's not just Captain America fighting Nazis. He's fighting Nazis with like supernatural and magic powers. Cap, he's taking Cap to a level that he's taken, like Brandon, you'll get this. He's taken Spider-Man on the same journey. Excuse me. He's taken Steve Rogers on the same journey he took Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Like with like magic and all that stuff. It's super fucking dope. And also not a sleeper because I'm pretty sure everyone's reading this. Wolverine Sabretooth War. 10 out of 10. It until this until the, as long as they stick the landing, possibly the best comic book that I've read all year, in like in years actually. Because it's actually showing the ferocity of Sabretooth and how smart he is. Because people forget that Sabre, for all his like, you know, animalistic nature, Wolverine stated that it's never the animal that's worried him, it's the man that really scares him. Because the man is actually dangerous. When he's thinking and Sabretooth is like on his shit, Sabretooth's a scary dude. So, honest to Odin.
I haven't read it yet, but it just to go with the we started off with like a manga theme, celebrating the life of Akira Toriyama. Ultimate X-Men is very inspired by manga.
Yes.
And I haven't gotten into it. The artist is it it's Peach Momoko?
Yes.
Her
Yes.
name?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. She's extremely talented, man. Like you could tell her inspiration comes from a lot of like horror mangas.
Oh my God,
And
yes. Like I
the
didn't
art
think of that.
alone. Yeah. No, like you could tell, like the way it's really creepy, bro. Like the way she uses it, uses moments and facial expressions and shadows and colors to kind of like express like really deep emotions. Like I skimmed through it just for the art. haven't even read it yet.
The moment where the armor gives one of the characters a thumbs up, and I was like, that was. We always talk about a lot of things that go into comic books, but one of the things the three of us also appreciate are the really subtle moments.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them.
Yeah.
That's one of those moments where you're like, oh, okay. And just because it popped in my head, because this is a conversation I want to have about our favorite action scenes, our favorite action moments in comic books. And one of them for me, and it's subtle, where the X-Men are fighting the Dark Avengers and Bullseye shows up. And Cyclops is immediately like, get him off my fucking island now. He wasn't worried about anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He saw Bullseye and was like, no.
Yep.
Absolutely not.
Bullseye is one of the most underrated villains of all time. But if you know.
If you know, you know.
You know.
And like, because anything, he could kill people with, he could kill people with pebbles.
Yeah.
He's like, Warren, I need you to get him off of this island right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just get him away. So, Ultimate X-Men is super dope. Yeah. And I like that the Ultimate X-Men is moving away from everything that we saw. I kind of feel that
we're totally different. Totally different.
I kind of feel like we're about to get the Ultimate Shadow King.
Ooh, yeah.
But that only reason I thought about that is because I read that right after I read The Resurrection of Magneto.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Have you guys been reading Century?
No. I'm probably going to get it this week, though. I think I'm going to catch up. I think that's going to be one of those things that I end up just grabbing and then just like binging all of it. Oh, I hate saying these three words. I really, really do. Brandon was right. Penguin is really, really. Penguin is good. Penguin's
excellent.
Great.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And it makes me, it's so good, I get emotional. It's so good that I get emotional because Penguin, like, you made me feel bad for a horrible person. You know what I mean? Like, two horrible people. Like, Penguin's handler is awful, and Penguin is awful. But, like, you made me feel bad for them. Amanda Waller is a whole ass piece of shit. She is, yo, you know, we talk about Hank McCoy. Amanda Waller is the fucking worst.
It's awful.
Oh, my God.
Person.
Thanks to everybody. You guys have anything else before we go?
Nope.
Thanks everyone for listening to the Old Man Wade Show. Thank you for the Superior Super Bowl Hobby. Thank you for the Daywalker and the Vampire Slayer, Brandon Orton, for doing this again.
The Day Sucker. Get it right.
The Day Sucker and the Blood Walker. But yeah, this has been the Old Man Wade Show. Join us next week. We'll probably have some reviews on Invincible. I also want to do some of my favorite dumb moments from X-Men the Animated Series, which also starts next week. That should be absolutely fun. We may do an emergency podcast depending on what happens with the Marvel X-Men stuff. And if we don't do it, then I'll do it myself, or me and Brandon will do it, or me and Javi will do it. But you'll probably get two episodes this week because anything X-Men related is something that needs to be talked about.
We need to do a live watch.
I kind of do feel like we should. I really feel like we should just, even if we've all seen it, I feel like we should FaceTime each other and watch it again.
Facts.
Because it starts.
Yeah, let's watch it and then rewatch it because that way we'll be able to like analyze it better.
I mean, I'm off this Thursday.
Okay.
And it comes on Thursday at like 4 a.m., right?
No, I forget what time it says. X-Men panel, Sales Plus Southwest. It's, oh, here it is. South by Southwest schedule. It's at 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Central Time. So 3:30 to 4:30 y'all time.
Oh, then yeah. Then we could really watch. Like, I could probably get up and watch it. And then we could get up and watch it later. Like, I think that'd be funny as hell to kind of like FaceTime and watch this shit and just like laugh and joke and shit like that. The trailers for it, like hearing Logan say, "Daddy's home." I'm like, what the, where did you go?
He's definitely talking to Jean in that scene.
He's probably talking to Cyclops. What are you talking about?
Yo, you think they're doing it? You think they're doing the truffle? Are they gonna do the truffle? What?
Yo, if they did the thruple, yo, if they do the thruple in X-Men 97, yo, there to go. There to go. If they do the thruple, nothing else beats that. If they do the thruple, that's it.
Tucker Carlson's head will explode. Because I feel he's young enough to have been like a kid watching the X-Men back in the day.
His head's gonna explode while his boyfriend fucking rubs his back.
That's hilarious.
All right, everybody. This has been the Old Man Wade Show. And as always, be excellent to each other. Peace. Where the fuck is this button at? The
Ball Black. No! Ball Black. Ball Black. Ball Black. Nerd. Nerd. Ball Black. Ball Black.
Ball Black. Damn it, Wade!